This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal.
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
All right, it is indeed time for Startup Nation Radio. Time for you to make your business dreams come true. This is the show for you to learn about how to start and grow your own dream business. Hey, today we're focused on the importance of establishing your own personal brand for greater business success. So it's not just about a business brand. Believe it or not, it's also about having a great personal brand to create that business success. We're going to hear from an expert on how you create that personal brand of your own, and we're going to hear from entrepreneurs who are doing it successfully. Stick with us. Great show ahead on Startup Nation Radio.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, great show ahead. We've talked before on Startup Nation Radio about the importance, the obvious importance of branding your business successfully, but today we're going to focus on the importance of branding you, the business leader, the visionary, the person that makes that business go, the person that's associated, the face of the business, the person that's associated with the business. That's also extremely important. Sometimes gets overlooked. We're not going to let that happen. We're going to focus on how you can create a great personal brand for yourself for greater business success. So on Startup Nation Radio today, we're going to have an expert help us with understanding how to do just that. We're going to also have some entrepreneurs on the show to share their success stories and how they did it, how they created that powerful personal brand for themselves. Before we get to the subject matter at hand, let me call out to Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial, great sponsors of Startup Nation Radio, great supporters of the entrepreneurial community. Pappas Financial has been a trusted advisor to business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for business owners to ultimately transfer their hard-earned gains to their estate. Get started right and stay on track. To help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to them, our good friend Norm Pappas, at 248-539-8282 and tell them Startup Nation sent you. All right, so with no further ado, let's get right into it. Personal branding, we've got a great expert. We're fortunate to have him. We've got Peter Montoya, author of the book, The Brand Called You, on Startup Nation Radio today. Peter, welcome and thank you for joining the show.
Jeff, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, great. So personal branding, it's kind of, everyone knows about branding your business effectively, but first of all, why is it important for an entrepreneur to brand themselves?
Great question. It's really important for entrepreneurs to brand themselves when they are the primary relationship with their clients or constituents. So it's not necessarily right for all businesses, but it's really important for businesses that are usually based on personal services. Let me give you some categories it falls into.
Yep.
Financial planning, real estate, most doctors, most dentists, a lot of your contractors and trade services. For them, their reputation, their brand is really critical. So it's usually best for them to brand themselves in those types of businesses.
And it's not just in a local, pressing the flesh kind of situation where you've got walk-in, physical presence with that customer base. It's also important to brand yourself, even if you're remote or, virtual, if it's an online business and you're the leader of that business. In other words, it's not just in your local community. It goes way beyond that, right?
Absolutely. It can be done in online businesses, too. One example that comes quickly to mind is Angie's List. I've never met her, but I've seen her do commercials before, interviews, and her personality and her passion for providing good quality local services to people is really, really evident. So, it works there, too.
You know what, Peter? That's a great example, Angie from Angie's List. Great example.
And if you want to look at global brands, there are a lot of international personal brands where the company founder is either present or not very present anymore. We can look at companies like Charles Schwab or Walt Disney or Calvin Klein. those are all companies that have built, you know, multi-billion-dollar corporations based on their personal brands. So it works both on a local level, online, and also can work for large international corporations as well.
Yeah, and I think not only personal branding, so not only to kind of put a face, a human touch to the business, but also we're talking about creating a sense of credibility and domain expertise, knowledge, you know, a desire to go to that person or that business because that person demonstrates real command over their area of, you know, the area in which they're endeavoring, right?
Yeah, that's basically it. It helps transfer credibility. When I used to do two-day seminars, one of the questions I used to ask my participants was to give me the perception of corporations. When they give a corporation, what's their perception? And they usually say cold, inhuman, profit-driven, and greedy. And I said, give me your perception of people. You know, some of a local professional who you know and like, and they say things like human, cares about me, compassionate. So using personal brands in a business is really helpful to humanize the company and to help transfer the idea that they really do care about the experience of the end user.
Absolutely. Like, let's go back to Angela's for a second. When I see her on those commercials, even though everyone knows now it's a big, big company by any measure, very successful, doing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. And here, this, you know, a woman who comes across as, you know, very approachable, my next door neighbor, local, my hometown kind of feel. She's really kind of got a brand that you can feel really comfortable with. And that really is what that business is all about, building confidence in local service providers that are going to provide services to you. And so that kind of, you know, that feeling about her, those brand attributes, when you think about Angie, translate across the entire business and really probably also filter down to all then the service providers that you'd be using by, you know, those that you'd select through her service.
I couldn't have said it better myself. You were exactly right.
Well, you know, it's funny, Peter, but when Paul Bologna, producer of the show, and I started talking about putting the show together, and Paul said, so tell me, you know, what's the kind of, what does this really mean? Distill it down, make it practical for me. I mean, here I am, Jeff Sloan, leader of Startup Nation, and I know that not only is it important for me to focus on my personal brand and the credibility that comes with that, but listen, I'm tied directly to the Startup Nation brand as the figurehead, founder, CEO, et cetera. I better know a thing or two about small business and entrepreneurship, and I better convey, you know, we try to approach entrepreneurs who and be approachable to entrepreneurs who are everyday, average, American-type, heartland American-type businesses. And so I want to make people know that I'm approachable, I'm one of you, you can relate to me and I can relate to you. I understand what that's all about. So I understand it firsthand, Peter, I really do. But you know how to make that happen better than anybody. We're going to get into it right after this commercial. I'd love for you to give us some tips, break it down on some of the things people should do to lay out a plan.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back. Great show today focused on personal branding and the importance of it toward business success. We've got Peter Montoya, author of The Brand Called You on Startup Nation Radio. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're brought to you today by Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. Peter, let's roll up the sleeves and go to work here. Let's get right into it. If someone wants to create a powerful personal brand, what's the process?
The first thing where all brands start is what's called specialization. There's a lot of words which are almost synonymous with the word branding. Actually, let me give you a couple of these words, because I think the word brand is sometimes a little vague and obtuse to maybe people who hear it and even use it. So here are some words to think of when you think of the word brand. A brand is a reputation in the community. The brand is also the relationship you have with you and your clients. And a brand is also a specialization, which means that when you think of a company, what is it that they do? So the formula for creating a specialization is as follows. It is your product or service and your target market, plus your target market. Product or service plus target market.
Okay.
So we might say, your brand, I'm going to make this up, and if I'm off, please forgive me.
Okay.
It is business information services for startup entrepreneurs.
Okay, that's good.
For a financial planner, I'm making this up again, it may be retirement planning for engineers.
All right.
For a realtor, it may be real estate services for condo owners. So it's a product or a service for and then the target market.
Okay.
And I'd say probably at least half the businesses out there do not know their own specialization.
And let's talk, let's just break that down for 1 second. So, for example, let's say it were hotels. If I'm going to be the leader of a hotel chain or the owner, even let's just say it's a local hotel, here locally, and if it were, if my hotel were convenient, you know, low cost, easy in, easy out kind of thing, I would want to convey a different brand kind of feeling and brand attributes than if I were opening the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas and I were Steve Wynn, appealing to affluence and so on, right? That's why you're, that's why you want to say your target market along with what you're offering.
That is exactly correct. It is the target market, what you're offering. And then also what you're starting to allude to is what really is a brand. And most people think that branding is only the name of your company and your slogan and the kind of imagery you use. And it really isn't. The brand is the complete and total client experience. So as you're building your hotel, you need to pick the right location, wherever those type of travelers are going to be, the right price point, the right amenities in the room, the right amenities in the lobby, and all of that is part of the brand experience because all of that gets commuted to the consumer, to the end client.
Right.
So brand is not just the name and the slogan; it's actually the complete experience of the consumer.
Right, and some of that is overt, very you know, out there, out in front. We know through through a tagline or through messaging, whatever it may be, but other bits and pieces of it are kind of covert. They're subtle, right? They're subliminal. They're there. Maybe it's the color choice that you choose for the the color in the lobby when you walk into the hotel. Going back to that example again, whatever it may be, those things all relate to your brand and your brand attributes, whether covert or whether out in front or whether behind the scenes, right?
I couldn't agree more. I think that one of the reasons that I go to Target is I like the Target shopping bags. They're a heavier plastic and they're more versatile.
Now imagine that. See,
isn't that funny?
That's amazing. I mean, but important, right? You just said you like to shop at Target because of the shopping bags. They're heavier.
Exactly.
Incredible. And that would get, people, you would think, if I said, let's draw up a list of things that, let's work on the Target brand and let's appeal to our demographic, that wouldn't necessarily be the thing that jumps out in front, but it all counts and it all matters, doesn't it?
Exactly. And, I go to DoubleTree Hotels. If I can go to DoubleTree, another $99 per night hotel, I'll pick DoubleTree because I get cookies when I go in there. You're right. It's very, very covert, but it's all part of the brand experience.
Well,
everything counts.
The cookie thing, funny you mentioned that. I just read an article, I think, was it DoubleTree opening a new line of hotels or something like that, and they said you can still count on the cookies at the front desk. That's how important those cookies are.
They're huge. Yeah. They're absolutely huge.
Incredible. To give you that, that welcome feel at that hotel, that's a great example you just gave, and I'm glad you brought it up. When I think of going to a DoubleTree, I know those cookies are going to be right there on the counter as they check in. Incredible. It's part of the brand experience, right?
Exactly correct.
Okay.
Those cookies communicate so much.
All right. Now, personal branding, though, let's get right back to that in terms of, let's break it down to a local entrepreneur. The same things that appeal to that kind of business brand we're talking about, the chocolate chip experience at the counter, those things also relate to your personal brand specifically. So we talked about reputation, we talked about relationships with the customers. Now you've kind of broken down specialization for us. I think we've got that. But go through the rest of it as you develop your checklist for your personal brand.
So once you have that specialization and you know what your service or what your product is, what your service is, and who your target market is, the next thing you're probably going to do is create a slogan. And the slogan oftentimes is exactly the same as a specialization, and sometimes it's a little bit different. So the specialization is always used internally. So when you're talking, doing strategic planning meetings and trying to figure out what you guys do and your products and services, and you say, what's our core offering, you go back to your specialization. And then your slogan is how you communicate what you do to your target market. Now, most small businesses create their slogans massively incorrectly. They try to create their slogans in the same way that Fortune 500 corporations do. Most Fortune 500 corporations have these very, very obtuse slogans. Their slogans sound like the following. Just do it.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go today? The real thing. And they go, hey, look at these kind of obtuse, feel-good slogans. I'm a small business, but I want to be a Fortune 500 business, so I'm going to create a slogan like this.
Right,
well, here's the major difference. Is everyone already knows what Nike does. Everyone already knows what McDonald's does, Coca-Cola does. And most new business coming to a small business, the customers don't even know they exist yet. So the first second that a small first second that a consumer comes in contact with a small business, they must instantly understand what it is that company does. And the best way to communicate that is in a very demonstrative slogan. That's the key, demonstrative, which means it has got to exactly explain what they do and who they do it for.
You know, that's a really important point. You know, a lot of these big brands, not only, I mean, everyone knows the brand Nike, so Just Do It works, but all, you know, in order to know the brand Nike, I would venture to guess there's literally probably billions of dollars in advertising behind
right.
that brand. And
yeah.
so, and you can't think that way as a small business owner. You're absolutely
no.
right. The temptation is, you know, like I love the one Home Depot, you can do it, we can help. You
right.
can, if you took Home Depot away from the name and you said, you can do it, we can help. That has nothing to do. It does not describe the specifics of the business at all. But because Home Depot is on TV with hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising behind it, they can use a brand like that. But as a small business, what you're saying is, for example, Startup Nation, we were thinking of a variety of different taglines. We ended up, and I'm glad to hear the advice you're giving because we fell right into that advice properly. We were going to go with a brand that was kind of like the bridge between dreaming and doing. You know, that was one of the, because that's really kind of what Startup Nation does. It gives you the information, the empowerment, the inspiration to move from dreaming about having a business to doing it. Okay. But to your point, it's not descriptive at all. So we ended up with everything you need to build your business.
Oh, brilliant.
So,
brilliant.
But it's not, if you will, sexy. It's not, you know, clever. It's not going to win any advertising awards, but it does exactly what you just said. So we did okay. So we did okay then, right, Peter?
You get a big A.
Yeah, yeah. Go.
A
we got a big
effort,
A. All right.
A for implementation.
On the corporate brand, and a lot of these things that appeal to the corporate brand or apply to the corporate branding do apply to personal branding as well, as you've said.
Most of them do. Yes.
Yep. And so okay. So we've got slogan now. The slogan must be demonstrative. What else, if anything, should entrepreneurs think about in the way of personal branding?
And once they've got that, then we start getting what's called marketing channels, which is how you communicate your offering to your target market. And there's a limited number of marketing channels, and they're the same for whether you're running a small business or a large business. And I can run down, if you want, there's actually 22 marketing channels, and all marketing falls into these 22 marketing channels. This is the complete world of marketing and advertising.
Hey, we don't have time to list all 22, but I'll tell you what.
I'd
love, Peter, if we could get you to maybe do a little article on StartupNation.com and post those.
Sure. 20,
yeah, and that we would love that. We'll follow up on that. So check out StartupNation.com to learn more. Following on this show,
I give you the big five or six.
Let's do it. That's perfect. I was just going to say, let's do that.
Okay.
You know what, yep. Peter? We're going to do that. I don't want you to have you start and cut you off. We've got to run to one more break. Can you stick with us for another segment? We would love it if you could. It's been great so far. Listen, tell us about, as we go to this commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk about those five top marketing channels. Your book, The Brand Called You, where can people get it?
The Brand Called You, easiest found on Amazon.com.
Of course.
Make sure you find the one by Peter Montoya.
The Brand Called You by Peter Montoya, Montoya. Check it out. Peter can't give us all the little tips that he's got available to us in this show. Hopefully we're getting the top ones, and I think we are. But for more and for detail, grab that book, The Brand Called You, on Amazon.com. We're going to come back after the break, and we're going to get the top five marketing channels that you ought to think about as you begin to push your brand out to your audience. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream
by taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back, Startup Nation Radio. Today brought to you by Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. We're focused on creating a powerful personal brand for greater business success today. Great stuff. Peter Montoya, first of all, thanks so much for giving so much of your time today. Appreciate it. You with us, Peter? Do we have Peter? Did we lose Peter?
Sorry, I'm still here. Thank
Peter,
you.
Peter Montoya, good to have you on. Listen, God, after great stuff you've given us, Peter, we don't want to let you go just yet. Can you give us, as before we went into the break, we said you would be able to give us the five marketing channels that we ought to pay attention to, out of about 22, by the way, that we, you know, if you get the exhaustive list, which we're going to get from you. By the way, how'd you like my technique when I said, can you give us the 22, and I asked you on air? You couldn't say no. That was a little unfair, but hey, very effective. So Peter, the top five marketing channels we ought to pay attention to once we've got our brand down and we're now ready to start messaging out to our community.
The big five that work in most small businesses are as follows. Client referrals obviously means that taking good care of your clients, they give you spontaneous referrals. Professional referrals are any professionals who can refer you business. And you got to align yourself with professionals who have access to your type of client. I'll say that in short. Number three is networking, and that means belonging to any kind of group where you can meet your ideal clients. Number four is client events. Client events are social or educational events to interact with your clients. And file number five is websites and social media. Those big five are probably the most important five for most types of small businesses. Not all, but most.
Incredible. All right, great, great stuff. Listen, you really helped us break it down. We now know how to create a powerful personal brand. I'd love to bring you on again, Peter, from time to time as an expert on the subject matter. Can't thank you enough for being with us today.
I was thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, very good. The Brand Called You by Peter Montoya. Check it out at Amazon.com. Better yet, buy it and put it to work to create a great, powerful personal brand for you. Thanks again, Peter. We'll check back with you another time and have you back on Startup Nation Radio in the future. All right, now, moving right along, talking about personal branding. We've got another expert who's going to help us kind of make this all happen for ourselves in a very effective way. We've got Tara Kachaturov on Startup Nation Radio. And Tara, boy, that's a heck of a brand. Welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Well, thank you. And it's nice to speak with you again, Jeff.
Yes.
I hope all is well with Startup Nation.
It is indeed. And we're thrilled to have you back on the air with us, Tara. And so you got a chance to listen in on what Peter had to say, in terms of personal branding. Is that consistent with your approach, or can you offer any other, perspectives or things we got to think about as we create a personal brand for ourselves?
Well, I absolutely love Peter Montoya. I studied with him when I first got into branding way back when. And one thing I would like to add, though, is, with the personal brand, it's people's expectations. It's their experience of you. It's when you hear that name, it's what comes to mind. It's what's in their heart, what's in their mind about you. Like when we say Jeff Sloan, there's certain things that people think about you, right, Jeff?
Okay, now listen, Tara, we're on the air. Be good to me.
It's all good. All right. But you know how it is. I mean, with Lady Gaga or, Apple Computers, Madonna, Richard Branson, I mean, there's always something that comes. So it's really important, like, what is it that's evoked in the hearts and minds of somebody when they hear your name? And in addition to that, it's really about being in touch with what you think your brand is vis-a-vis what people think your brand is or know your brand to be.
That's an important point. I think it kind of emanates from the inside out. It's probably hard to, this is something I would just intuitively recommend against. I would recommend against sitting down and drawing up what I think the personal brand of my company should be and then trying to fit that mold as opposed to having it be authentic, right? Having it come from within, having you believe in it, having you feel it, having you live it, having you be it.
Well, I think it actually comes from both sides in a way, because I think that you need to go out there and ask people, when you hear my name, when you hear my business name, what comes to mind? What is your experience? What is that emotional tie into it? But also in your end, I think you need to do that work and say to yourself, what are my top attributes? What is it about me that makes me different? What are those components? And then I think you need to do a cross check with the two, because there's things that people are seeing in you that you're not necessarily aware of. They see these
right.
amazing things about you, but you're not even putting that in your top 10 list. And
right,
we all
right.
have
it's,
that.
It's still authentic. It's still authentic. It's still who you are, really
exactly.
who you are. But it's just you may miss or think it's not as important, or you may not perceive yourself the way other people do.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
There's another piece about this, and that's where the treasures are, finding the disconnects on both ends. Now, what about the things that you want to be emanating out there. You want to be expressing out there to people, to your target market, let's say. But when you do, like a survey of people who know you really well, they don't come back with any of those attributes that you think you're putting out there. That means that you need to figure out a way to get those out into the various channels, the marketing channels, the different ways you can brand yourself. You need to get that message out there because they're not seeing what you want them to see about you. So there's treasures going back and forth between the two sides you know, who's missing what about who.
So, Tara, let me ask you about that. Could it also mean that maybe what you think matters most or even matters at all is not what your community and constituency or customer base believes matters most or at all?
I think it can on some points, but I think on the basic things that you want to be known for, you want them to know, you know, you want those to be out there in an authentic way, and you want to be aware of what those are. So it is good that you survey those people and find out, and then, you know, take it from there. But you have to, you know, that's got to match up with you as a person, because it is your personal brand. It's you and how you're showing up and representing your company. I think there's just a lot that has to go back and forth and looking at them and analyzing it. Lots of treasures, though, going back and forth about where you can take up things that are missing on either side and really capitalize on them to build an even stronger brand that they hear the message the way you want to be hearing it and the way you want to show up authentically to them.
You know what? That's really, really interesting and great advice. Now, let me ask you this. You mentioned the back and forth and the treasures that can be found by doing that. I know how to do the fourth, and that is, you know, pushing out to the marketing channels, for example, that Peter Montoya just talked about. But the feedback, how do I get that? What tools do I use? What can I do to get feedback so that I can take action on it like you're talking about and get those treasures?
Well, there are assessments that you can use. I use a tool called a 360 Reach, but there are other tools you can use. And for many of my clients, we just do a simple email out to people who know them well, and we just do a quick poll, because a lot of people don't want to do an extensive survey, so we do something really simple. Make a list of all the people that know them very well. And this is not just people you do business with. This is your friends, your family, your colleagues, your mentors, your teachers, anybody you're involved in. This is your personal brand, so it's how you show up in the world no matter where you are. They need to know you well. And you can ask them a few questions, like, when you hear my name, what comes to mind? What attributes? What personality style? What leadership style? Because all those are important. What values? You know, it's kind of the same thing that you do when, you know, when they do branding in the corporate world, and they do those, you know, those test groups where, you know, they'll give you different taglines. What does this mean? I actually did one of these at Walsh when we were testing stuff at Walsh College. I've taught there as a faculty member and also have a degree from Walsh. Mm. We did things exactly like that. What comes to mind? What do you feel? What, you know, how does it make you feel? What words? What colors? What happens for you? So you can get feedback really simply and quickly from just emailing out a bunch of people that know you, or you can use something more sophisticated like a survey or assessment.
Okay, really interesting. Well, Tara, I'm going to really lean on you now. We've got in studio a lady who has created a successful business for herself, and in part doing it by creating a powerful personal brand. She was aware of that every step of the way. You know, we can always improve. We can always do better. If you wouldn't mind, and by the way, Tara, you've got a media property of your own focused on entrepreneurship. Tell us about your show, and then we'll get right into our in-studio interview in a second.
Okay. Well, I have been doing a show called Michigan Entrepreneur, Michigan Entrepreneur TV. I started this show 9 years ago, and I've done over 300 interviews of people from around the state of Michigan, including somebody from Startup Nation several years ago, your community manager. And it's been an amazing experience to get to know people in Michigan.
Yeah.
And especially for me, since I don't do a lot of work basically in Michigan, I work virtually. So I'm working with people all over the country and outside of the U.S. So it's just been a wonderful thing to see how much creativity and amazing things that go on right here in Michigan. And you know what? Many of them are not branded. Some of them don't even have a website, and they're doing quite well. I don't suggest that, but
well, we got to do better.
Treasures.
We got to do better. Now, someone who is doing it well is Erica Weichel of My Coordinator LLC. And when I say, by the way, we got to do better, I mean those entrepreneurs out there who are not using the power of personal branding. We've got to do better. So we're going to help Erica. First, let's break it down and see how Erica's doing. We know she thinks she's doing well, and certainly her business appears to be doing extremely well, and personal branding's been a huge component of her success story. But let's maybe find areas where we might be able to help Erica even improve further and use personal branding even further. So Erica Weichel, with no further ado, welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Tell us quickly, Erica, about your business. What is it?
I coordinate transactions for real estate investors locally and all over the world.
And so we found you because we know personal branding has been a big component of your success story. What, in your own words, how have you put personal branding to work?
A lot of the things that Peter Montoya had talked about, with the specialization and then the client referrals, the professional referrals, networking, client events, website and social media. Those are all huge things that help me to grow my business.
All right. Now, we're going to go to a break in a minute, so I don't want to get into it just yet. We're going to go to this break. We're going to come back. Erica, we're going to find out some of the specific things you did to create your brand, how, even more specifically, how you put it to work for you and what the benefits of putting that personal brand to work, you know, how you know it's brought you benefit. We want to hear about that so that we can really demonstrate the power of a personal brand. And Tara, you're going to stick with us because let's do a little coaching and find areas where we might even be able to give Erica some advice and guidance on maybe more she can do to either further empower her brand and as a result, her business as well. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. We'll be back right after this break.
It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Today, focused on personal branding, we've got Tara Khachaturov on the show with us as an expert in personal branding. Tara, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio.
Thank you.
All right, great. So we're going to do this little exercise. We've got Erica Weichel in studio, and Erica's got a company called My Coordinator. You can check it out at mycoordinatorllc.com. By the way, Erica, first, welcome again to the
show.
Yeah. Love your branding on your website.
Thank you.
You've got a little, what you call an avatar,
yes.
A caricature of yourself, kind of a cartoon thing there. Was that part of the, that's part of the personal branding thing, right?
Absolutely. It helps to combine the professional with some personal touches to express my service to my clients.
You know what? I love the look of your website. I really do. And it's a website that clearly indicates someone's thought about branding.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No question about it. So as you thought about branding, and Tara, by the way, help me jump in anytime. Feel free to do this interview with me, if you will. Erica, as you branded yourself, how did you do it? Were you conscious of the effort of branding yourself, or was it something that was organic and it's just who you are and it happened? And if you were conscious about it and you went about it methodically, what did you do specifically to create this brand?
Unfortunately, it was probably more of an organic experience, but certainly keeping in mind my clients, what their needs are going to be, and what I'm going to be able to provide to them. And part of using my services is to make everything easy, and I will take care of the behind-the-scenes work for them. So obviously, my website had to reflect the same, that it was an easy-to-use, user-friendly website.
So I picked up a couple of brand attributes, easy and easy to use. I would say friendly and approachable, service-oriented, right? I mean,
yes.
You wanted to convey that clearly. Approachable. I mean, when I look at your branding, you know, and anyone listening now can check it out or check it out later, mycoordinatorllc.com. I think a really effective branding job. So I see those brand attributes. Even in the colors that you've chosen to do your website, I feel that. You know, in the same way that I see Angie on Angie's List and I get who she wants to be known as and who she wants her customers to think of her as and therefore her company as, the same applies to the job you've done, I believe.
When Peter was talking about the corporate branding and people find it to be cold and impersonal and not approachable, that certainly was a conscious effort to make me look to be more warm and friendly and approachable.
And what about the channels? You know, he talked about getting your message out across these, well, 22 total, but 5 top channels.
Absolutely. Well, I'm certainly involved in my community through my township efforts, but also through real estate networking groups. And client referrals are a huge part of my success. I certainly work with other professionals that do referrals as well. The social media, though, is something that we certainly try to take into consideration. I've been able to do a lot of blog exchanges along with the Facebook and Twitter.
And how do you know, you know, it's all very cool, it's all great, I think it's all very well executed. How do you know it's doing anything for your business?
I certainly see the, through the website, I certainly get a lot of emails, I get a lot of phone calls. And then when I am at some of these networking events, I'm approached, I actually sometimes even have lines. So it works very well for me in my industry. Not every industry would be the same, but in mine, it works very well.
And what about, you know, getting feedback like Tara talked about, you know, not just pushing out messaging, but really knowing how your market's responding to the messaging? Do you do any surveying or?
You know, I don't. Not that it's not a great idea. I certainly worry about the honesty and people trying not to hurt your feelings when that happens. But I do know that it's working, and it's working well because of the response that I get. My caricature or my avatar is such a huge part of my branding. People know me as, oh, you're the girl with the girl. That's me.
That's great. That's really great. Tara, what are you hearing? Are you hearing anything that, you know, we might probe on further or suggest or recommend in terms of furthering, you know, using this brand even further to create better business success?
Well, I would definitely say, like, Erica is doing great things with her business. And I think just to underscore, to bring it to mind to all entrepreneurs, is making sure you have that clear message, which she clearly does on her site, both in pictorial format and in written context.
Yep.
But a very clear message. Consistently put out there, so she's doing things in the community, you know, the same message, this is what I do, this is what I always do, this is what I'm going to do in the future, and then constantly doing it, you know, going out to these meetings, getting referrals, being connected into her network, so that clearly, consistently, and constantly, three very important concepts when it comes to your personal brand and making it a strong element of influence.
And Tara, what about, you know, I think Erica brings up a really good point. When we talk about the surveys, there's the issue of whether people will respond honestly. Because, you know, again, especially if these are people that know you, do business with you, mm-hmm. like you, relate to you, are they going to be honest?
Well, they will if they're using the survey that I'm using, because it's done completely anonymously, so nobody knows who they are. But it does give them the opportunity to say whether they're a colleague, a friend, a family member, or something like that. So you can differentiate to make sure that even your brand is consistent among groups of people and in whole. So there are ways to do it anonymously, and even making a form that doesn't collect anything, like a SurveyMonkey form, takes a few minutes. So there are ways to do it, and yes, they will not be necessarily honest. But if that's part of your brand and you like people to be like rawly honest with you, and you've always put that out there, people probably will if they know it's safe to do that with you. So there's different ways you can approach this.
Sure. So what tool are you using, by the way?
360
Reach. You mentioned it earlier. Okay, great. So, Erica, you're clearly missing that on some of these treasures, these nuggets that can be pulled out by getting this kind of feedback. What do you think about doing a survey?
Certainly, don't object to doing the survey. If people can do it anonymously, they may, you know, tend to give some critical feedback, which would certainly anybody that is an entrepreneur should take that into account.
Sure. Because it's not criticism for the sake of criticism or being negative.
It's constructive.
It's constructive, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's the whole intent. And so if we did a survey, I'm just curious, what do you think you'd hear? You think you're on it? You think you've got it pegged just right?
I honestly think that I have pegged it
very
well.
I've done
very well. But my background is in this, and it's been for 17 years. I've had my own brand for 6 years. And the reason I even got my own brand was because I was asked to on a regular basis. So it worked out really well for me. I kind of fell into it instead of growing it.
Yep. Tara, let me ask you, what about using then your personal brand to extend beyond just the, you know, the kind of the brand icon, the brand attributes, the taglines, the messaging? What about things like, you know, that go to credibility and domain expertise, using webinars, doing things that you can demonstrate, you know, obviously blogging, writing articles, submitting articles to trade publications? What else can we do to really build not only our brand, but our expertise as it relates to that brand?
Actually, I have like a three-tiered approach, and they start with easy things to do, middle things to do in terms of resources and skill level, and then some very advanced things. I'd like to probably just talk about some things that are a little more advanced in terms of what Erica's doing because of where she is in her business and her expertise and the amount of time she's put towards this. So, you know, if she's already doing blogging, that's great because that's really a standout way, and of course she's already doing the social media, so that's wonderful. In terms of some of the more medium-level things to do would be, you know, getting out there and perhaps doing an online TV show. I mean, you can use Ustream and other types of things, or, you know, doing webinars and teleseminars that are specifically for her market. Those could be very easy things for some folks or more advanced. It kind of depends on where you are as an entrepreneur in your either your skill level or your access to those resources. And then for the super advanced folks, I would say writing a book, starting your own radio show, TV show, those can also sure. be advanced things. But those are really to take it to that next level. Writing a book might be the very next thing for her because of where she is, if she hasn't done it already.
Well, Tara, we're going to unfortunately run out of time here, but the information's been incredible. Can't thank you enough for being on the show. Erica, thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Tara, before you go, how do people find you?
You can find me at personalbrandessentials.com.
personalbrandessentials.com. You shared some really, really good wisdom on the heels of Peter Montoya's very good wisdom as well. We really appreciate it, Tara. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, great. And Erica, continued good luck. Keep putting that personal brand to work.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, and we'll check back with you from time to time and see how you're doing at mycoordinatorllc.com. Check it out. Great, great example. I really mean it. A great example of personal branding at that website. If you want to create that kind of image and exposure and brand equity for yourself, this is a really good model to check out. MyCoordinatorLLC.com. All right, great show, great stuff. Personal branding, very powerful for business success. Put it to work for you. Check out all the resources that we talked about today on StartupNation.com.